translation. Lord Brahma said, my four sons, Sanaka, Sanatan, Sanandan, and Sanat Kumar, who were born from my mind, are your predecessors. Sometimes they travel throughout the material and spiritual skies without any definite desire. Purport. When we speak of desire, we refer to desire for material sense gratification. Saintly persons like Sanaka, Sanatan, Sanandan, and Sanat Kumar have no material desire, but sometimes they travel all over the universe out of their own accord to preach devotional service. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapad Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavansha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitansha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Opesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranavami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyasya Ribashandhu Bhyaye Vacha Patita Nama Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Yadvaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Hare Krishna. A very warm welcome to you all to this morning's Srimad Bhagavatam class. This verse is being spoken by Lord Brahma, and there are several such verses in the whole of Srimad Bhagavatam which have been spoken by him. A few of my personal favorites, they come in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, the prayers of Lord Brahma after the Brahma Vimohan pastime. So in one of the verses over there, he says, Pashyeshamena Aryamananta Adye Paratmani Twaya Pimai Maini Mayam Vitatyekshitamatna Vaibhavam Hyaham Kiyana Ichame Varcha Ragno. Lord Brahma is saying, Pashyesha, Pashya Isha, oh my dear Isha, oh my dear Lord, just have a look at my uncivilized impudence. I had the audacity to steal your cowherd friends and your calves. Who am I in front of you? I am like a tiny spark in the presence of a great fire. Something similar, ladies and gentlemen, is my position also today. Just have a look at my uncivilized impudence. I had the audacity to sit here in front of so many exalted Vaishnavas. Who am I? I am also like a tiny spark in the presence of so many fire-like Vaishnavas like you all. But still, because the service has been given, I seek blessings from each one of you that I may be able to speak something of relevance for your divine pleasure and for my own purification. So in this verse, the four Kumaras, the four sons of Lord Brahma have been talked about. Sanak, Sanatan, Sanandan and Sanat Kumar. The verse says that they are traveling and preaching, which means that they are not inactive. Because these four Kumaras are in the renounced order of life, they are monks. Sometimes people think that monks are supposed to sit idle. They are supposed to be inactive. But Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that to be inactive is imperfect, it is impractical, and it is inauspicious. Bhagavad Gita 3.4, Krishna is saying, inactivity does not lead to perfection, it is imperfect. Bhagavad Gita 3.5, na hi kasya chanam api jato tishthatya karma krit. Inactivity is impractical, it is not possible, even if we try to be inactive. And 3.6, karma indriyani sanyam ya, Krishna is saying, inactivity can lead to inappropriate behavior. It can lead to inauspiciousness. So therefore, they are having some tangible activity, the four Kumaras. They are positively engaged. And one more word that has been used in this verse is vigata sprihaha, which seems to say that they are free from all desire. But Srila Prabhupada, he clarifies in the purport that here, what it actually means is that they are free from all material desire, because material desire cannot bring about any happiness. The Sanskrit term for material desire is kama, K-A-M-A. And this kama has been talked about in many verses in the pages of Bhagavad Gita. It is said, as long as we have K-A-M-A kama, we cannot find C-A-L-M kama. Right. And another interesting thing is that along with kama, Krishna has also spoken about krodha. Krodh means anger. So in some verses, Krishna has spoken about these two things together. Can you tell me a few verses wherein these two things have been mentioned in the same verse? Kama esha, krodha esha. This is from the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And then in the fifth chapter, shaknoti haiva yahasodam praksharira vimokshanat kama krodha udbhavam vegam, like that. This is 5.23. Then 5.26, three verses later, again Krishna is saying kama krodha vimukta nam yatinam yate chetasam. So why is Krishna doing this? Why is Krishna combining kama with krodha? Because if we make an endeavor to satisfy kama, to satisfy any material desire, two things can happen. One, that it will further increase that particular material desire. It will lead to an increment in our material hankering. That is one. And second, it can bring about krodha. It can bring about anger, because the outcome from that endeavor was lot less than what I expected. The result from that material desire was lot less than my calculations. A few years back, one person, he came to ISKCON Rohini in Delhi and spoke to one of the senior devotees, and he said, Prabhuji, I am 46 years old and I have traveled to more than 46 countries on the planet. I have diamond business, and there's no sense gratification which a human mind can imagine that I have not tried. I have tried every possible thing. But still, after all this, my conclusion is that there is no happiness in this world. When I heard this, I was like, wait a minute, this is so interesting. Because when we people preach this, when we people say money cannot buy happiness, we speak because we have read in the Shastra, because we have been told by our Acharyas. We speak from Shabda Praman, but this guy is not speaking Shabda. He is speaking Pratyaksha. He is speaking from his own experience. He is speaking from realization. And guess what? His realization is perfectly in alignment with the Shastra. The seventh canto says, Drishta maya devi vibho khila dhishnya banam ayu shriya vibhava icchati yanjanoyam yesmat pitu kupita hasa vijrimbita bhru visvarjitena lulita satute nirastaha. In this verse, Prahlad Maharaj is speaking to Lord Narasimha. He's saying, Drishta maya, O my Lord, I have seen with my own eyes, with my own drishti. What have I seen? Those things which ordinary people hanker for, those things which are desired by common men, I have seen them being possessed by my very own father. He had all those items in abundance. I have seen those things in my very own house. What all things? Ayu, Shriyo, Vibhava, Ichchati, Yan, Janoyam. He had Ayu, he had Shri, he had Vaibhava. Ayu means long duration of life. Shri means opulence. Vibhava, Vaibhava means influence. He had everything. Hiranyakashipu's influence extended not only to his city. His influence extended not only to his planet. His influence extended all over the universe. It is said Hiranyakashipu did not have any radiators or air conditioners in his house because Sun God was a servant. If he was dissatisfied with the temperature outside, all he used to do was simply look at the sun and raise his eyebrow. And when this used to happen, Sun God used to start trembling out of fear. Big demigods like Indra and Chandra, they used to work as servants in his house. This was the power of Hiranyakashipu. But Prahlad Maharaj is saying, in spite of all this, in spite of having a heaven-like life, he was dissatisfied in the heart of his hearts because ajitendriyah, because his mind and senses were uncontrolled. It is said that mind is like a shoe with some pebbles inside. Hiranyakashipu had everything. He had all those things that we people work hard for. He had all those things that we people yearn and struggle for. He had good clothes. He had good food. He had citizens. He had subjects. He had sex. What was that thing that was not possessed by Hiranyakashipu? He was bathing. Hiranyakashipu was bathing in the waterfall of good fortune. He was sitting on the most bedecked and jeweled throne of material success. He was living on the golden mountain of material opulence. But because his mind was uncontrolled, he was miserable. It is said that mind, as I was telling, is like a shoe with some pebbles inside. If we are walking even on the smoothest of roads, even if we are walking on a well-made marathon track, if there are some pebbles within, what will happen? The journey will be miserable. We will be dejected. We will be sorrowful. Why? Because the problem is inside. The problem is within. Right? But if it's the other way around, if the stones are outside, even if the track is not so well made, but because the pebbles are not present within, because our feet are protected by the layer of a comfortable shoe, the journey will be fairly good. So this is what a mind can do. There's a reason why Krishna says, Bandhuratmatmanastasya yenatmaivatmanajita anatmanastu shatru. Mind can either be a shatru or our friend. It can be our friend or it can be an enemy. The choice is ours. If controlled, it can make a hell into heaven, or otherwise it can make a heaven into hell. And this same thing will be confirmed later in this chapter also. The residents of the spiritual world. The chapter is entitled Description of the Kingdom of God. Around text 20, we'll find a verse. Yat sankulam haripada nati matra drishter vaidurya marakatahe mamayer vimanei ye shambrihat kati tatas mitashobhi mukhya krishnatmanam narajad adhurutsma yadyai. In this verse, it is being said that what to talk of the residents of the devotees in the spiritual world. Let's not talk about that. Let's not talk about their house, their homes, even their airplanes, even their aircrafts. They were bedecked with precious stones, with invaluable jewels, and their beauty. They are millions of times more beautiful than the living entities on this planet. But in spite of this, these people don't even try for sense gratification. Why? Because they know that happiness is not a product of gratification. They know that if we eat something nice, this is what we people think, right? If I eat something nice, I'll be happy. If I see something nice, I'll be happy. But no, happiness is not a product of gratification. It is a byproduct of dedication to Krishna. So the residents of the spiritual world, they know this. And this is confirmed even by Dhruva Maharaj in his prayers in the fourth canto. He says, Noonam. What's the verse? Noonam vimushtamatayas tavamaya yate ye tvam bhavapaya vimokshanam anya heto archanti kalpakatarum kunapopa bhogyam ichchanti yat sparashajam niraye pinrinam. He's saying, oh my Lord, some people archanti, they do your archana. Some people, they come to you for the fulfillment of their material desires. To have material desires is not so healthy a thing. But to come to you for the fulfillment of those material desires is worse. That is a very high degree of stupidity. Why? Because that material desire can be fulfilled even in the hellish planets. Noonam vimushtamatayas. If somebody is coming to you, their mati has been stolen away. Their intelligence has been taken away by your maya, by your illusory potency. Noonam vimushtamatayas tava maya yate. They are coming to you for those things that can come to them by themselves. That can come to them by on its own, out of its own accord. Just like material distress. How many of us come to Radha Gokulananda and pray, oh my Lord, since past few days everything has been going on very wonderfully. Everything is A-class. Please send some misery. Please send some distress. When I am driving back home from Manor today, please let my car have an accident. When I reach my house, please let me have a fight with my spouse. When I reach my workplace, please let my manager tell me off. When I'm walking on the street, let a pickpocketer pick my pocket. My health has been very wonderful since last 1 year. 1 year, please give me some stomach ache. Please break my arm, break my leg. How many of us pray like this? None of us. But still, do these things happen? Yes, these things come to us automatically without us inviting them, without us praying for them. So just like material misery comes to us on its own, just like material distress comes to us out of its own accord, similarly, material happiness will also come automatically. We don't need to separately endeavor for it. Material desires are not to be chased because that will not lead to fulfillment of the heart. Fulfillment of material desire does not mean fulfillment of the heart. Now, that being said, it doesn't mean that professionally we people stop working hard. That doesn't mean that professionally we people become failures. If that happens, then we will be known as a society of losers, you know. It should not happen that spiritually we are scholars and professionally we are beggars, you know. Not at all. It should not happen that spiritually I can quote 500 shlokas in a class, but professionally I struggle to earn £500 in a month. No. And this is not what I am saying. This is what has been exemplified by our acharyas, by the Goswamis. Rupa and Sanatan, they were the associates of Lord Chaitanya. But when it came to their profession, they were very dutiful. They were very hardworking. It's not that they were workaholic, but still, they were finance minister and the prime minister in the state of Bengal. Who are Rupa and Sanatan in the spiritual world? They are Rupa Manjari and Lavanga Manjari. Manjaris are those devotees who have Dasya Bhav towards Srimati Radharani and Madhurya Ras towards Krishna. They have a mood of servitorship towards Srimati Radhika and a conjugal love for Krishna. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami says, Tambularpana Padamardanapayo Dana Bhisaradi Bhir Vrindaranya Maheshwarim Priyataya Yasto Shayanti Priya Prana Preshtha Shakhi Kulada Pikila Sankochita Bhumika Keli Bhumi Shurupa Manjari Mukhas Tadasika Sanshaye. He's saying that sometimes Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world are shy. They are sometimes hesitant to perform certain pastimes even in front of the gopis of Vrindavan, even in front of the damsels of Raja. But they are absolutely okay, they are completely fine to execute, to perform those very same pastimes in front of these Manjaris. So this is the level of the Manjaris. And there are 8 principal Manjaris. Out of those 8, 2 are Roop and Lavanga. Roop Manjari and Lavanga Manjari. And they came as Roop and Sanatan. And they ended up becoming the finance minister and the prime minister at a time when India was known as the golden bird, Sone Ki Chidiya. Back in those days, India was so prosperous, so absolutely prosperous, that the only thing I remember studying in my class in the history subject is which invader came to India at what point of time and looted our resources in what all ways. That's the only thing I remember. And Roop and Sanatan were ministers in the state of Bengal. Bengal was very well off, and their salary, Roop and Sanatan's annual income was 800,000. And this was 500 years back. 800K per annum. Is it too much or too less? Too much, right? That's a lot. Oh, sorry, I forgot to tell you. It was not 800,000 pounds per annum. It was 800,000 gold coins per annum. When we people have to receive our paycheck, we go to our office, right? We take a bus or a car or a tube, go to our office and receive our salary. Roop and Sanatan also used to go, but not to the office, to the river, because their salary used to come in a boat full of gold coins. Just imagine. So these guys had smashed it professionally. So Krishna consciousness begins by becoming dutiful. Of course, they later on resigned. They renounced everything. There were reasons. But yes, the reason was not frustration. The reason for their renunciation was not frustration. There's a lot of difference between renunciation and frustration. Renunciation is as different from frustration as much fasting is from starving. Starving and fasting are two different things, right? Starving means lack of food items to eat. Fasting means lack of desire to eat. Similarly, frustration means absence of ability to enjoy. Renunciation means absence of desire to enjoy. So if frustration is our motivation, then very soon we'll be fried out here also. Some people come to us, they say, Prabhuji, please keep us in the ashram. We want to stay in the temple, please. I don't want to go back. And we ask, why? What happened? Please share something. What are the details? They say, Prabhuji, Krishna appeared in the material world in the age of Dwapar. Krishna came to this planet in Dwapar Yuga. And that same Krishna came in Kali Yuga as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Similarly, Putana came to this world in Dwapar Yuga. And that same Putana has come in the age of Kali as my wife. What do I do, Prabhuji? I am fried out. Please help. So if that is the motivation, then very soon we'll be fed up. One fellow, he came for Biyamang challenge, you know. It's a 7-day long challenge. This fellow left within 24 hours. 24 hours. The challenge had not even started. The only thing that we had done was campus tour, some introductions and the induction program. That's it. The challenge had not even started. So yes, if the motivation is incorrect, then we'll be fried out. So yes, the point is that lack of material desire does not mean lack of endeavor in our profession. So yes, and also when it is said that renunciants are not supposed to have material desire, it does not mean that they will be completely free from all this. They might be having some traces of material desire. That is very much possible. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudramapaha pravishanti yadvat tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve sa shantim apnoti na kama kami. Krishna is saying that just like an ocean is constantly attacked by n number of rivers from all directions, there is a constant influx of water into the ocean. But still, in spite of all of this, the ocean remains completely undisturbed. We never see the water level within the ocean increasing, right? Similarly, if a person, in spite of being attacked, in spite of a constant influx of material desires, remains undisturbed, remains fixed, remains equipoised, then he is qualified to attain lasting peace in this world. When I had joined the ashram and had received the saffron rolls, after a few days, I had put some random WhatsApp story. I put some WhatsApp stories on my phone for some preaching every now and then. And I have very specific target audience for such post, you know. But when I do so, what will happen? Even those who are not the targeted audience, they will also see. So, without being mindful, I had put something and I received such colorful reaction because people were seeing me in saffron for the very first time. So I got a message from one fellow. She was from my school. She said, "Hey Ananta, what is this? What happened to you? All of a sudden saffron? You have become a monk? You never told us? We never knew that we had a saint in our class? We never knew that you didn't have a desire to marry. Now it makes all sense. Now we understand why when we people were doing all sort of things in the classroom, you were always found sitting in a corner and studying. Now I'm able to connect the dots." I said, "Oh, Amma, hold on. Hold on. Take a break. Two things. One, I was sitting in a corner and studying because I had to crack the IIT exam. My goal was to crack the university entrance exam. And second, who said that monks are free from desire to marry? Who said that renunciation means absence of sex desire? Renunciation does not mean absence of sex desire. Renunciation means presence of a desire bigger than sex desire. Renunciation means presence of a purpose bigger than lust." So we should not have transcendental expectations from the renunciants. Once one devotee came to Srila Prabhupada. He said, "Prabhupada, I want to take sannyas." Prabhupada asked, "Why? What's the reason?" He said, "I'm too lusty." Prabhupada said, "Okay, I'll give." When I heard this, I was like, "Wait a minute, Prabhupada. He is accepting from his own mouth that he is too lusty. How can he do that?" But no, two reasons. One, he at least knew that he has lust, right? At least he was informed. Otherwise, many or most of the people on this planet, they think it is a part of their existence. It is absolutely normal. So at least he knew that he was spiritually diseased. And second, he had a strong desire to conquer lust, right? So this is what Srila Prabhupada saw. So yes, even renunciants may be having material desire. That's the point. And my last point for the day is that when it is said that material desires are not healthy, that does not mean that for spiritualists, the goal is to become desireless. We are not here to become desireless. We are here to become desire aligned. We are here to align ourselves with the desires of Guru, with the desires of Krishna, with the desires of Vaishnavas. Once we were sitting in a class by His Grace Jananivas Prabhu and we asked a question, "Prabhuji, how appropriate is it for us to go in front of the deities and ask for something and ask for express our desire?" He said, "Yes, that is a good idea. If you are going in front of someone who can give you everything and you are not asking anything, that is stupid. That is stupidity. That is foolishness, right? We should ask. But we should ask for spiritual things. We should put spiritual desires in front of Krishna. We are not here to practice desirelessness. We are here to practice desire purification. Desires are not to be killed. Desires are to be spiritualized. Desires are to be redirected." So yes, and how spiritual a desire is will depend a lot upon what is the motivation behind. For example, the desire to go back home, back to Godhead, is it spiritual or is it material? Will be defined by, why do I want to go there? If I want to go there because going back to Godhead will offer me more opportunities to serve Krishna, then it's a spiritual desire, it's a pure desire. But if the motivation is that I am fed up with this world, then there are tinges of impersonalism within that. Then it means that we are self-conscious more than Krishna conscious. Some people execute bhakti because it will make Krishna happy. Some people execute bhakti because it will make them happy. The difference is within the why. Right? So everything depends on why we are doing it. And when I say that we should have spiritual desires, that does not mean that everyone will be having the same desire. There might be variety. Variety within spiritual desire is very much possible. We are supposed to be same in purpose, same in the goal, not same in opinion. Difference in opinion, difference in desire is expected. It should be taken care of. It should be handled very efficiently. What to talk of us? Even pure devotees might differ in desire. Pure devotees might differ in desire with the desires of Krishna as well. Right? Yesterday, we were hearing Srila Prabhupada's class and Prabhupada was talking about the Sakshi Gopal pastime. I'm giving some examples wherein how two pure devotees might differ in desires or one pure devotee might differ in desires with the desires of Krishna. Shri Shri Radha Gokulanand ki. Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki. So when like this, there's a difference in desire. Sometimes the Lord's desire might emerge victorious and sometimes the devotee's desire might emerge out victorious. For example, in the Sakshi Gopal pastime, the Brahmana was telling, oh my Lord, you need to come from Vrindavan all the way to Vidyanagar. Vrindavan is in North India. Vidyanagar is in South India. It was quite a long journey. So the Brahmana is saying, my Lord, I need you as a witness. And the Lord, initially, he was showing some resistance, right? But in one way, at least apparently, the Lord was forced to give up his desire, right? And then Srila Prabhupada had a desire to go to Tokyo and preach, but the plan was dismissed, right? Then Srila Prabhupada didn't want to take sannyas. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur almost forced him to take sannyas, right? Arjuna did not want to fight the battle. And Krishna, he said, Tasma tvam uttishta, get up and fight. Right? So like this, there might be a difference. Similarly, in the Antelila of the 11th chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, 11th chapter, there is mention of how Haridas Thakur, he had reached out to Lord Chaitanya, saying that, oh my Lord, Sei lila prabhu more kabhu na dekhai ba apanar age mora sharira padiba. Sei lila prabhu more kabhu na dekhai ba. Oh my Lord, I understand that you are about to wind up your pastimes from this planet. You are about to disappear from this world. But I am personally not interested in witnessing that. Please, I cannot bear separation from you. So therefore, please allow me to live in your divine presence. Aapa nar aage mora sharira padiba. I want to give up my body in front of you. When Lord Chaitanya heard this, he said, no Haridas, this is not such a good news. What will happen to me? Kintu amar ye kichu sukha sabe to malaya. Tomar yogya nahe yabe amare chhadiya. Whatever bliss I'm experiencing in life, whatever pleasure I have, whatever happiness I have, that is all because of you. It is all because of your association. What will happen to me? Who will help me in my pastimes? Haridas replied, oh my Lord, why are you saying like that? Who am I? There are many millions of devotees. Mora shiromani kat kat mahashaye
तोमार लीला रसहाय कोटि भक्त है. देर आर कत कत महाशय. देर आर मिलियंस एंड मिलियंस ऑफ डिवोटीज हु कैन बी मोर यूजफुल फॉर योर पास टाइम्स. हु एम आई? ऑल दीज डिवोटीज आर फिट टू सिट ऑन माई हेड. हु एम आई? आई एम लाइक अ टाइनी इनसिग्निफिकेंट क्रीचर. आमा हे न यदि एक कीट मरी गेला, एक पिपलिका मैले पृथ्वीर कहा हानि हैला. आई एम लाइक अ टाइनी इनसिग्निफिकेंट इंसेक्ट. इफ एन इंसेक्ट डाइज, हु इज अफेक्टेड? द होल वर्ल्ड इज अनअफेक्टेड. सिंस मॉर्निंग एट भक्ति वेदांत मैनर सो मेनी इंसेक्ट्स वुड हैव डाइड. ऑल ऑफ अस वी आर ब्लिस्ड आउट. वी आर कंप्लीटली अनअफेक्टेड बिकॉज दैट्स हाउ द वर्ल्ड वर्क्स. दैट्स हाउ द थिंग वर्क्स. So Haridas is saying, oh my Lord, please don't say like that. My loss will not affect anyone, I am pretty sure. So like this argument and counter argument was going on, Lord Chaitanya, because it was time for him to perform his noon duties, he left. And he thought, I'll come tomorrow and sort this out. So next day, Lord Chaitanya, he arrived quite early with his associates. And Lord Chaitanya just asked one question. He said, Haridas, what's the news? How are you? And Haridas, he replied, oh my Lord, it's all your mercy. Indirectly, Lord Chaitanya asked him, does he still want to pursue with the desire of leaving before Lord Chaitanya? And indirectly, Haridas Thakur also said yes. So when this happened, Lord Chaitanya indicated to the devotees that they should start some kirtan. And himself, Lord Chaitanya, in the meantime, he started singing the glories of Haridas Thakur. Haridasera guna kahite prabhu haila pancha mukha, kahite kahite prabhur bade maha sukha. And when Lord Chaitanya was doing this, when he was glorifying Haridas, it seemed that he had five mouths. Lord Chaitanya was going for it. He was going on. And when he was doing so, his bliss was constantly increasing. Kahite kahite prabhur abade mahasukha. Upon hearing all this, Haridas Thakur was becoming a bit emotional. So he said that, Lord Chaitanya, oh my Lord, you please come and sit next to me. Haridas nijagrete prabhure vasaila, nija netra dui bhringa mukhe padme dila. Haridas Thakur made Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sit down in front of him, and then he fixed his eyes like the two bumblebees on the lotus face of the Lord. And then Haridas Thakur very gently, he lifted the two lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. Swaridaya nidharila prabhura charana, sarva bhakta padarenu mastaka bhushana. He very gently lifted the two lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and placed them on his heart. And after that, he collected the dust from the lotus feet of all the Vaishnavas around and placed it on his head. This verse is personally very inspiring and instructive for me, because Haridas Thakur, he is having direct relationship with the Lord, direct connection with the Supreme Lord, with Lord Chaitanya. But he is not ignoring the other Vaishnavas. He is acknowledging their presence as well. He is appreciating them. So sometimes this may happen. There might be some devotees who are having faults, who are having shortcomings. But if Radha Gokula Ananda are giving them permission to come and stand in front of them, then who are we to reject them? Who are we to criticize them? Right? So forgiveness is a serious quality and we should try to practice it. And then when this was happening, Haridas Thakur all of a sudden started loudly calling out, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Shri Krishna Chaitanya. And like this, Haridas departed. Haridas Thakur left his body. And then the devotees and the Lord, they started calling out the names of the Lord. Hari, Hari, Krishna, Krishna. And then Lord Chaitanya,
he did something surprising. He lifted the body of Haridas Thakur within his own hands.
Haridasera tanu prabhu ko le laila uthaya angane nachena prabhu prema vishta haya.
The Lord raised the body of Haridas Thakur and placed it on his lap. Then he began to dance in the courtyard in great ecstatic love. Angane nachena prabhu prema vishta haya. Lord Chaitanya, when he was dancing like this, he was overwhelmed with ecstasy, with love. Lord Chaitanya, then he took the body of Haridas to the sea beach to perform the final rites. And guess what? This is a fortune which was not obtained even by Maharaj Dashrath. Maharaj Dashrath was the father of the Lord, but Lord Ramachandra did not perform his final rites. It was Bharat who performed his final rites. But because Haridas was so dear, the Lord took this responsibility upon himself.
Haridas samudra jale snana karaila prabhu kahe samudra ei mahatirtha haila.
Lord Chaitanya bathed the body of Haridas in the sea and then declared, from this day on, this sea has become a mahatirtha. Not just tirtha, mahatirtha. Not just an ordinary holy place. It is a great pilgrimage site henceforward. Sometimes we devotees, when we go to Jagannath Puri and we take a bath, we play, we do different kind of things in the sea water. So sometimes people criticize us. They are like, hey, you guys are monks. What are you doing? Playing, frolicking like this. It does not suit your personality. Be a bit mature. And we are like, why are you blaming us? Our Lord, he instructed us to do this. Our Lord himself did this. Blame Lord Chaitanya. Right? So like this. So anyways, then yeah, Lord Chaitanya, he did a few more things. The details can be found in the 11th chapter of Antalila. And finally, everybody was singing the glories of Haridas.
Sabe gaye jaya 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 Haridas, na mera mahima yeha karila prakash.
Everybody was singing all glories, all glories, all glories to that Haridas Thakur who had spread the glories of the holy name. So here, apparently, Haridas Thakur was differing from the desire of Lord Chaitanya. But this is what Lord Chaitanya also wanted. Lord Chaitanya does not want mechanical robots in his pastime. If Lord Chaitanya would have wanted mechanical uniformity, he could have created a robot, named that robot Haridas Thakur, made that fellow chant 192 rounds every single day, and that fellow would have followed Lord Chaitanya 100%. But this is not what Lord Chaitanya wants. Lord Chaitanya wants loving exchange. When a husband and wife, they are having a difference. Let's say the husband wants to go to Vrindavan, the wife wants to go to Mayapur. Sometimes, in this situation, one party will have to give up their desire. But to give up my desire for the desire of my beloved, that also has a different kind of rasa. That also has a different kind of bliss. Right? So, when Haridas Thakur was trying to differ from the desire of Lord Chaitanya, he was not being self-centered, he was being love-centered. So, yes. So, in spiritual dynamics, there might be an apparent difference. But if it is all about Krishna, if there is no concept of me in that desire, then it is perfectly fine. So, yes, that was mostly it from me. In nutshell, we discussed how these four Kumaras, they are active, they are traveling, and this is in alignment with what Krishna has instructed in Bhagavad Gita, that even renunciants cannot sit idle. Then we talked about how material desires, they lead to misery, they lead to frustration. So therefore, desires are not to be chased, purpose is to be chased. And then we talked about how not chasing material desire does not mean becoming a beggar professionally. We should be very responsible in our professional duties. Then we talked about how we, even those who are in the renounced order of life, they might also be struggling with material desires, so they should be supported, they should be protected. And last but not the least, we are not here to become desireless, we are here to become desire aligned. So spiritual desires are healthy, they should be cultivated, they should be maintained, they should be expressed. Thank you very much. This was mostly from me. Any thoughts, comments, criticism, feedback? Yes, Ruji.
Mother Kalangana, when she was here, she was passing away. Shivaram Swami was speaking to her about Radha and Krishna, and she said, "Chaitanya, Chaitanya." She was reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita when she was passing away. And but he said, he tried to pursue her, but she said, "Chaitanya, Chaitanya, Chaitanya."
Jai, thank you, Prabhuji. Yes, Manju Mataji has a question.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, some really powerful and beautiful points you raised. My personal experience is desires are not quite natural. They're not voluntary. So could you share, where do the spiritual desires come from? Is association the only way they can be cultivated, or how?
Yeah, I was thinking about it. So one can be association. What kind of people do we associate with? Another can be upbringing also. What kind of upbringing we have had. Third can be what kind of books we are reading. Fourth is what kind of content we are consuming. If we are doing everything right in our public life, but we are messing around in the private life. We have three types of lives. One is called public life. Second is called private life. Third is called secret private life. Public life is a life which we live in the midst of others. Let's say we are in the temple room. At that time, in one sense, we are forced to be Krishna conscious. Let's say somebody walks inside the temple room at 5:30 a.m. Right? Everybody is chanting Hare Krishna. So what will this fellow do? He will also take out his bead bag and start chanting Hare Krishna. Right? It's a force, but it's a very good force. So public life, it is very easy to be Krishna conscious. Then comes private life. Private life means when we are in the ashram or those who are family and those who are living a family life, when they are at their house, what will happen at that time will be bothered by some personal considerations. Let's say, okay, what I'm going to cook tomorrow, what all submissions I need to do this week, I need to take the kids to school, bring them back, etc. So Krishna may not be so much in the center at that time. This is private life. And third, secret private life, the life in which it's just me, nobody else, I am by myself. This can be the time when I am taking a shower in the bathroom. This can be the time when I am just about to go to bed. This can be the time when I am driving and nobody else is in the car. So at that time, what am I doing? It also depends a lot on that. What is my meditation? So if I am messing around in my secret private life, then also the desires may not be so Krishna conscious. So that's some thoughts, Mataji. Yes.
Beautiful class, and some wonderful points actually you made. I was about to ask whose desire was it, like Haridas or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, but then you summed it up very well. It was not self-centered, it was love-centered. So could you just say, who was Haridas? Like we typically say Sanatan Roop were Manjaris. So who was Haridas?
Haridas Thakur was Lord Brahma.
Okay.
I just said he's incarnation of Lord Brahma.
And you said he wanted to leave his body before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yeah, that was his mood. That I cannot see Lord Chaitanya passing away in my presence. So better if I depart first. That was his mood. Mood can be different. Two people might be having different mood. One person is having this mood, I want to leave before him. Another person might be having the mood, when Lord Chaitanya will depart, who will take up the responsibilities? Who will preach? So I want to stay. So both moods, which one is better? The question itself is wrong. Both are spiritual, both are perfect.
It's both different are bhav.
Just different way of serving Krishna.
Thank you. Harish.
All right. We'll close here. Rintra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande.